Today we celebrate the great martyrs, Saints Cornelius and Cyprian. And they're two of the martyrs that we hear in the Roman canon in the first Eucharistic prayer. And so Cornelius was a pope. They were both bishops, and so Cornelius was a pope. In an extremely difficult time to be a pope, I think I read one thing about him that said that he was sort of a reluctant pope initially, because to be a pope in this time frame, which is the third century, the mid-200s or so, was to be martyred quite quickly at that time with the Roman persecutions of that time frame. And so it took over, I think it was about a year and a half, they said, that it took for Cornelius to become pope, because there was an anti-pope at the time, Novatian. And so Novatianism was another heresy at that particular time. So Cornelius became the rightful pope at that time frame. And there was a really interesting statistic about it when you think about the first few hundred years of the church right there. So we're still about 70 so years, just a little bit more than that, until Christianity would be legalized in Rome, about it was 323, 325, if I'm remembering right. And so right about that time frame, though, it said that in Rome he had 46 priests, 7 deacons, 7 subdeacons, and there were about 50,000 Christians in Rome at that time. And I was just thinking about what an amazing history we really have, because they have letters from Cornelius, from Cyprian, and they were there together, and they supported one another. So Cyprian was supportive of Cornelius when it came to a lot of the heresies, and there was a big question at the time of whether or not you would let apostates back into the church if they recanted their apostasies, if they said, okay, like I was completely wrong about these things, and they were both on board. But yes, you know, we should let them back in the church, which shows that they were in touch with the mercy of Jesus Christ. They understood the importance of that somebody, if they repent and they say that they were wrong, that we should open the doors back into them. They're like, but there were conditions, and they were kind of harsh and difficult conditions. They said, you know, they really had to pay a penance, and they really had to kind of pay for the fact that they committed the sin of apostasy. And so they were two great, great saints that were martyred for the faith. And like I said, our own patron, Saint Cecilia, is in the Roman canon, and so are Cornelius and Cyprian. So these early Roman martyrs, we always say, you know, the church was built on the blood of the martyrs that was shed in Rome. And so that really is amazingly true. And we see how small the church was at that time. 46 priests, 7 deacons, 7 subdeacons, and 50,000 Christians. What an amazing thing. And as I was going through the readings today, you can't be a martyr for the church, a martyr for Christ, without love. It's impossible. It's an act of love. It's the ultimate act of love, is to give your life for your friends, for the body of Christ. And I was thinking, for all of those out there that are married, and I know many of you are, can we just imagine in that reading from Corinthians? It's one of my favorite readings, by the way. But, you know, we hear it a lot, you know, at weddings and different things like that. So sometimes, you know, you might tune out when you hear that kind of list. But imagine any time that you're having difficulty with your spouse. If you went through that reading in Corinthians and said, each of you, both of you, it would require both spouses to do this. Am I being any of these things? You know, am I being boastful or rude or pompous or, you know, like all of those list of things that St. Paul gives us. And almost like we make an examination of conscience when we go to confession, if we did an examination of our love when it comes to how we, and you know, and this isn't just for married folks, of course, too. It's everybody that we love. It's the people in our lives. If there's an argument going on and each person stopped for 1 second and said, am I being any of these things? I think all of a sudden it would get quiet, and we might just walk to separate rooms for a little while and just think about, you know, why we got in that argument in the first place, perhaps. And it's amazing testament to love's endurance, as Paul says. And one of the things that I'm reminded of just right now in the world is just how much we've just forgotten this, what it's like to love one another, what it's like to love our neighbor, especially when we don't completely agree with them. And we see that in the gospel today about Our Lady of the Rosary at Fatima had said, you know, that some people will see Jesus himself and reject him. And that's really what this gospel is about. It's like, no matter who comes, you know, it's like, oh, you thought John the Baptist, probably the holiest guy that ever lived, who never drank a drop of anything in his life, was essentially, possessed by a demon, so you didn't think he was credible. And then Jesus came, and he was eating and drinking and hanging out with all these people that you thought were questionable, and so then you thought he was, you know, a drunkard and a crazy man as well. And so it's just like, nobody I sent to you, you're going to believe, because you didn't even believe Jesus himself. And one of the things that this had reminded me of was, and some of you, I'm sure, have probably heard this before, but I used to really enjoy, especially when I was discerning the priesthood, I used to really enjoy looking at those old Life is Worth Living shows for Venerable Archbishop Fulton Sheen. And I just enjoyed, you know, like, he was an amazing, amazing speaker, you know, I mean, the amazing preacher, and his just ability to just use that chalkboard. And they say, you know, at the time frame that show was on, that it was the most popular show on TV. It had the most ratings. I was like, wow, how the world has changed, where a Catholic bishop could be on TV and be the most popular show to, Archbishop Sample saying that it's difficult for anybody to even listen or read something that he would have to say. Most of our media outlets won't even cover something that he has to say. So what a different world that we live in now. And I just remember one time at one of his homilies, Archbishop Fulton Sheen, he read this poem called When Jesus Came to Birmingham, and this is Birmingham, England, that he's referring to. And I'd like to read that for you today, because it's just an amazing perspective on how we can still do violence to somebody without it being like the violence that was done to the martyrs and the violence of Jesus. And so this was by Jeffrey Studdard Kennedy, and he wrote this he was born 1883 and died in 1929. When Jesus came to Golgotha, they hanged him on a tree. They drove great nails through hands and feet and made a Calvary. They crowned him with a crown of thorns. Red were his wounds and deep, for those were crude and cruel days, and human flesh was cheap. When Jesus came to Birmingham, they simply passed him by. They would not hurt a hair of him. They only let him die. For men had grown more tender, and they would not give him pain. They only just passed down the street and left him in the rain. Still, Jesus cried, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And still it rained the winter rain that drenched him through and through. The crowds went home and left the streets without a soul to see. And Jesus crouched against the wall and cried for Calvary. God bless you all today.